Let's talk about the list. You just heard in the news, the list has grown. The emergency travel order made by the city of Chicago, including now Wisconsin and Missouri, which affects so many people. Lots of things to keep track of. Lots of plans maybe changing. I don't know. 563. Hey, Anna, we're going to the Dells tomorrow and, tomorrow to Sunday. We don't live in the city, but have been keeping an eye on things. We're not changing our plans at all, but we are taking extra sanitizer and wipes with us.
Oh, that's a good idea anytime you go to the Dells.
I would agree with that. A couple places there. I mean, the kids love it, but a lot of kids are touching things. And then you know what the kids do? They touch their mouths, and I like the wipes generally. I would agree with that. They are, so they're not in the city. It really wouldn't technically apply to them anyway. So that's the difference there. And 815 says, yeah, is Governor Pritzker going to visit Wisconsin to his lake home? He said he'll not visit his properties via Marianne Ahern, NBC5 reporter on Twitter. He was asked about that at a news conference. So that gets that out of the way. Now, what does it mean for the rest of us, this emergency travel order? And are they legal? How can they enforce them? There's some talk about how social media could even be used to go after the most egregious offenders. The city has laid out its plans for fines, but no fines have been so far. And no one's been fined yet, and there's not going to be any border patrol, nothing like that. It seems like it's sort of been an honor system thing, and that maybe it will remain just that way. Let's talk to Karen Conti, and if you have experiences or thoughts about this, weigh in anytime, 312-981-7200. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
Hi, Anna. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is, when they mentioned that Wisconsin might be added to the list, I think all of us are like, really? Could they? Really? Wisconsin? In the summertime? I mean, so many people go to Wisconsin in the summertime.
Right.
It's well-traveled and for good reason. And then you look at the fact that our beaches are closed. I know a lot of folks are going to, you know, Wisconsin areas, to lakes and even beaches and recreational areas, the Dells, other places like that, just to sort of, you know, let loose in the summertime and have some fun. It's a thing. And so I just wonder, you know, this emergency travel order, it feels like you've told us before, and I just want to kind of reiterate this. It's difficult to enforce. It seems like it's mostly kind of self-enforced. Is that how it works?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many problems with enforcing it. How do you force it? How do you catch people going across the state line? And if they're going across the state line, they may be coming home to do their 14 days. And as we talked about before, there were other states that were looking at people who flew in, looking at their plane tickets and then looking at maybe their Facebook page to see if they're out and about in a bar or out and about. But again, that takes a lot of manpower. And guess what? We have so much going on in our city. We have statues being toppled. We have protests going on. We have murders to the ceiling. And this is the last thing that we have the manpower or the woman power to enforce.
Yeah, it seems like this would not be something to put on police's plate at this moment, that they've got enough to take care of, enough to deal with. And I'm not sure they've even said that they would. In fact, I haven't heard any of the health officials or the mayor, anybody indicate, you know, here's the people, the team that's going to be in charge of this. So I don't know, will it be left up to others to point out things they see on social media? I don't know if that's going to happen. But it just seems as if for right now, they're just sort of saying, here's the travel order. It's 22 states, which is a lot of states. But when you hear from the health officials, they say that it appears to be working. Just the announcement of this kind of thing appears to be enough of a, you know, discourage people from traveling or, you know, kind of doing the kinds of behaviors that contribute to the spread.
Well, and I think that is really the purpose. And I think, number one, most people are law-abiding citizens, and we don't want to be violating the law. I mean, even if you do want to go to Wisconsin, you don't want to be somebody who's going to be fined, especially in this economic climate. And second of all, people who are compromised are probably saying, wow, if our government, if Chicago thinks that going to Wisconsin is going to be dangerous, maybe I shouldn't be going to Wisconsin. So it's got kind of two parts here, and it probably will work. And nobody likes this. It's causing people to be concerned, and you're right. Our neighbor's going to be calling each other. Hey, I know these kids just got back from the Dells, and I see them out playing in the yard. Should I call the police? And I hope that that's not what happens, because we don't want vigilante justice going on with all the other problems we have going on in Chicago right now.
I'd agree with that. It's just you don't want it to go that far. The exceptions to the rule are if you're an essential worker, those coming here for medical treatment, that kind of thing. I guess if you work here or you if medical treatment, I didn't see anything else. Is there anything
else? Oh, if you're a Major League Baseball player, Anna.
Right. So the brewers can travel here.
The brewers can come right in here and they can do whatever they want.
Ah, what a weird thing. I guess, so those are the only three categories? I mean, if you're a professional baseball player, you have to be here essentially, or medical treatment. That is so weird. So, does that make it any less legal if you just decide to carve out for baseball players?
You know, it goes to the, I mean, I think it would be upheld in court, and I think that city of Chicago has different considerations than perhaps other suburbs and other areas in our big long state. But, whenever you do things that are kind of inconsistent, that could lead a court someday to say, that's just not fair, because if you're going to tell people they can't travel, because we have a constitutional right to travel, and we have a right to go to different states and be treated similarly, okay, unless the state's police power, which is that power that allows the state and the city to kind of regulate health and safety concerns, that is going to trump the right to travel for certain. But it has to be reasonably tailored, meaning it has to be narrowly focused on what exactly is going to be allowable and not allowable. And if it's random and it's doesn't have any teeth to it, doesn't have any meaning to it, then I could see a court, you know, the court could very well strike it down. But you know, I guess the point with the baseball players is that, you know, they're going to be contained in some place, and you don't want to be quarantining baseball players, otherwise they're not going to be able to play in any city.
We've heard from listeners before that called in on this issue when they were first talking about this being instituted, that in Wisconsin they're noticing this influx of Illinois people to Door County and the Dells and all across the state, and that they feel as if we're contributing to their issues there because it creates a crowded beach situation or a crowded touristy area and that sort of thing. It's just, you know, it's interesting to see that because we go to New Buffalo, Michigan, and I see all the Illinois plates coming up and down Whitaker Street going to and from the beach, and mine's an Illinois plate too. I mean, we're fleeing there 70 miles away to try to take in some of the summer, you know, some relief in the summertime and just kind of enjoy that sort of thing because our beaches are closed here. And you wonder what impact that has in other communities if we're partially to blame, I don't know, for the increase?
And it could be, but remember, at least in Wisconsin, that the Supreme Court struck down their ban, you know, on stay at home and things like that. So, I mean, they had, I mean, I have a place in Wisconsin, and I know that people walk around with no masks on in the stores and in the restaurants, and things are open. So, you know, they've been dealing with this a long time, and they're definitely a lot looser, and people are not as strict there. So it's probably a combination of both, you know, Illinois coming in there, but also their own people not taking it as seriously.
You know, Dr. Arwood even said, and she called out Indiana in one of her recent news conferences to say that, in Wisconsin too, that she doesn't see as many people wearing masks there as here. And so she was sort of saying, hey, you know, this is a problem. You're going to non-mask wearing zones kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's going to lead to the spread. Her concerns over that were that they didn't have as strict, I guess, people were not abiding by the rules as strictly as you might see in Illinois. I just wonder, you know, I wonder how long does this last, and do people sort of get tired of it at some point? It is summertime, and I made the point, is like, you go there for your summertime. It sounds like you like to go to Wisconsin.
I do.
It's a short summer. I mean, it is short. Summertime is short, and there are a few weekends left, and it feels as if a lot of people are going to, you know, be concerned that they can't use their place or see
and
their family.
I also feel like when you tell people that they can't do something, they want to do it more, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I you know, telling me I can't go on an airplane and go on vacation makes me want to do it all the more. So, and we in this country enjoy great freedoms. We always do, and we are very aware of our rights here in this country. In other countries, not so much. But that's why I think we're having trouble here, because people think that they have the freedom to do whatever they want, and they really don't. And I think that's something that the law has never been made clear to people, because we've never had a situation like this. But the state really does, and I say the state and the cities have power to protect people, and in a crisis like this, they can do the things they're doing. It's not an illegal action.
A couple of texts here. 847, the Kenosha Beach is filled with Illinois plates. 708, the travel restrictions slightly bother me. Plenty of people here in Illinois partying and not following the recommendations. I did go to Wisconsin to my cabin to be with nature. I was more quarantined up there than here.
Yeah.
People should be careful before they judge others who go out of state. And then here's another one, 262. How can one single politician say we cannot travel back and forth to different states since our beaches are closed? That speaks to what you earlier said, that you have the constitutional right, but that they can restrict that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you everyone has rights, and sometimes those rights collide, and then it's just a matter of figuring out which right is more important. And at this point, there probably would be a determination by a judge that the state police power to make sure people are not dying is more important than you going to the Dells.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
If you put it that way.
Yeah, that's very, very, very clear there. I can tell. Spoken like a very good, true good attorney. Karen, let's hang on a second. I want to hear from Marilyn. Go ahead, Marilyn. Jump into this conversation. What do you got to say?
I've got a client. I'm a medical social worker. I specialize senior.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a condo here. She's in Illinois, and she's got a condo in Florida. She went down to Florida to get dental work done because it's cheaper there and came back, and I told her that she's supposed to self-quarantine for 14 days. And she said, I'm not going to do that. Well, I said, well, I'm not going to come see you because you're going to an area that is, you know, got a huge amount of COVID patients. And she said, well, I'm not going to get it, and I'm not quarantining. What do people do in those situations where we know someone is not going to self-quarantine?
Well, you know, I have to tell you that, Marilyn. At least she told you that she did that, so you can make the choice yourself. Now, she's not telling everyone else when she goes out, but at least that was communicated to you, and you can make that decision then. About what you want to do, but I feel like there's a lot of travel, a ton of it. Thanks, Marilyn. Thank you for calling in. I feel like there's a lot.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, I had a friend who came to the Illinois area, was supposed to bring their kids. One of them stayed home because they said that they had been at a party where there was some kind of, somebody had tested positive, and so they stayed home. And, you know, that's the kind of responsible behavior that will help everybody, ultimately. I mean, it just seems like, you know, you gotta be thinking of everyone else at a time like this too. It's not just, hey, what's convenient for me, but how you might act that would impact, you know, others in this situation. Hey, Karen, the other thing here is the governor just kind of issued a warning on this. So he kind of said, he called out a couple of states. If you cross the border to Iowa or Missouri, he mentioned those specifically. Remember, they have 3 to 4 times our positivity rate. So it isn't the same kind of quarantine thing, but sort of indicating that's something, you know, they're looking at. I don't know, is it possible the state would do this kind of thing? We've seen it in other states, haven't we, like New York?
Yes, it certainly could happen, and I'm frankly a little surprised that it hasn't, because Governor Pritzker has been pretty proactive here, I think, to protect people, and I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, it all depends on the numbers. I think if we follow the science, I think that's a good thing, but yeah, the state could do that as well.
Karen, can you hang on a second here? I want to ask you about a couple other things that are in the legal world that have to do with this. Do you have just a few more minutes for us?
Sure.
Okay. I have to have a question here. If I get tested in Wisconsin, do you know the answer to this? Do I count as a Wisconsin case, or do I count it because I'm an Illinois resident? Do I count as an Illinois case? I wonder, because you wonder with contact tracing, that kind of thing, if Illinois people are increasing the toll there.
I don't know how they would share that information. It would seem to me that it would be counted in Wisconsin, but I don't know. You know, that's a whole other issue of how things are being counted. And of course, we have a lot of people in this world who don't believe any of this counting is accurate, and it's all contrived to make it look like the numbers are bigger for some reason. But I think they're probably doing their best in counting faithfully, but I don't know how they cross count when you're sort of straddling the state line there.
Yeah, because we have a couple of texts here asking about that kind of thing, that we're wondering if, you know, the influx of Illinois people to the touristy areas and lakes and things like that are contributing to their increase in cases.
It's a consensus in here that they go by your home address.
Oh.
So I think if you're tested in Wisconsin,
okay.
I, you know, I'm not absolutely positive, but kind of pulled the people here, and that's what we think is the case.
Okay. So then that's interesting that you would count back here is what we're likely thinking there. A couple of issues here before we get to White Sox baseball, Karen, about the whole idea of workplace issues, and I know you handle this kind of stuff as well as an attorney. You talk about getting back to work. You saw Google just announced that they're going to continue remote working through the end of next year, which was kind of a big announcement to say that. But then you have a lot of employers saying, you know, come back now, and we need you back, and that kind of thing. And I just wonder, is the fear of getting it enough for an employee to say, I've got to stay home? Or what kinds of stipulations are there? What kinds of things do you have to pay attention to? Let's say you have no underlying conditions or no one at home to be concerned about, the fear of getting it. Can that be enough?
It cannot be enough. Basically, it has to be, in order to be justified in not going to work, where the employer couldn't fire you for that, it would have to be something that was like imminent bodily harm. So if you knew you were going to go there and you knew for sure you were going to be killed by some machinery or something, that would be like an OSHA situation, then you could not go to work and you couldn't be fired. But you have to go to work. And the idea that you're frightened to go to work is just not enough that can be justified. Now, if you do have an underlying condition, that may be like American with Disability Act, where the employer has to have some reasonable accommodations. But if the employer can't accommodate you, like, for instance, if you work retail or you work in a restaurant, I mean, you can't work remotely, so there's no reasonable accommodation. So the answer to your question is, for the most part, not having child care, not wanting to go to work because you're afraid of getting it, that's not a reason to not go to work. And if you don't, you could be fired.
If I disguise myself as a baseball player, could I be part of the exemption? You think I could pass?
Oh, I love that one.
I don't know. I'm just thinking through these things, trying to make my choices with informed information. Hey, Karen, the other thing, too, I want to ask you just quickly here. There's a class action lawsuit just announced about ComEd to try to get refunds back to all the customers who paid potentially, you know, higher rates because of the clout-based, the bribery scheme that the feds laid out and that they basically had to admit, ComEd had to admit that they did that kind of thing. They're paying a $200 million fine, but that's not going back to the people who paid over the years, and now there's a lawsuit. Do you think this quickly here, do you think this is something we would eventually see a little check in our mailbox for?
You know, I think it's a pretty good lawsuit. You'd have to prove that what the fraud was contributed to the idea that the rates were increased or not decreased or whatever it was, and if there is a tie-in to what the fraud caused, then I can see this being a very good lawsuit. And I like it because, you know what, keep these people honest, right?